Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is William Federer, who is a prolific writer, has written some wonderful, wonderful books dealing with all sorts of issues, historical issues, Americanist issues, Christian issues. And good morning, William. What are we going to be talking about this morning?
Oh, hey, Dr. Stan. Great to be with you. I'm actually in California, and speaking at a Concerned Women for America conference. I was at the Embassy Suites at on Ontario, California.
Well, and, this program is being broadcast in Denver, Colorado, actually in Northern Colorado, California. Northern Colorado. Gets up into Wyoming, a few listeners in Nebraska, but go right ahead.
Well, Wednesday I spoke at a Calvary Chapel Church in Chino, California, Chino Hills, and I've spoken in Denver at the Calvary Chapel Church, Pastor Gino Geraci, many times, and just really, really appreciate him. The elections are in the news, and I thought it would be interesting to examine the election strategy that is going on, particularly from the Democrat perspective, especially after the President's State of the Union address.
All right, go ahead.
Several years ago, the Chief of Staff and campaign manager of the current president made statements. One was Rahm Emanuel, and he said, never let a good crisis go to waste. Everybody remembers that Machiavellian statement. And then his campaign advisor is David Axelrod. And on NPR, he said this. He said, in Chicago, we have a political tradition where you throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent. So I want to dwell on this just a second. It's this concept where you accuse your opponent of what you're guilty of. And so the President's State of the Union address, he was referring to the class warfare and the rich and how terrible they are. And in actuality, we see that the president is close friends with some extremely rich, George Soros. And the president is using our tax money to, through the Export-Import Bank, to give to the Brazilian oil company Petrobras. And they are drilling for oil. Well, this Brazilian company is owned by George Soros. So he's criticizing the rich, yet he's helping the rich. He's talking about bringing jobs back to America, yet he's actually financing jobs in other countries. And then he said no to the Keystone Pipeline. I got an interesting email. I've not totally researched it, but I have done a little bit, and it talked about how there's a particular wealthy individual that just bought ownership in a large railroad business that pipes oil out of the Nebraska, Boston, Bakken, Dakota's area, and that if the Keystone Pipeline went through, it would take away the business from this person. This person made a statement that his secretary paid more taxes than he did, and so his secretary, like, sat there right near the Obamas during the State of the Union address. I think you probably know who I'm referring to. But
his secretary, he doesn't mention, makes $300,000 to $500,000 a year. So little wonder she's paying such high taxes. He never mentions what her salary was. And of course, you're speaking of Warren Buffett, and certainly he will benefit from cancellation of the Keystone Pipeline. But Barack Obama received almost $600 million in donations when he ran in 2008, and much of that came from the major banks and major corporations who finance both political parties, and Barack Obama is simply a puppet for the powerful political forces which could pull the strings that control his arms, legs, and mouth. He says what he's supposed to. He talks about class warfare, but it's all a game. Same people control him who controlled George Bush, who controlled John McCain. It's all a game.
Well, and it's interesting how we have in our minds this paradigm where business is on one side, government's on the other, and the two don't get along. Well, how do you break business if you are in favor of big government? Well, there's some insight we can gain from Mohammed. Now, believe it or not, Mohammed was a brilliant politician. He was not a very effective religious leader. He only made 70 converts when he was just a religious leader. But then he goes to this Jewish city called Medina, and he gets involved in politics, sort of like a community organizer. Well, if we examine it a little closer, Medina was controlled by three Jewish tribes. And so he makes a treaty with them when he's weak, and then later, he breaks the treaty and chases them out, but he does it in a process. So the first Jewish tribe that he breaks the treaty with and confiscates their property and chases them out, this is the weakest of the three, and it's the tribe that the other two don't like. So from the other two's perspective, he is getting rid of their competition. And so they stand around and let that third tribe get chased out of town. And in their mind, they're thinking, they had it coming to them. We never liked them. They were sort of competition for us. Then there's only two Jewish tribes left, and he picks on the weaker of the two that the biggest one didn't like, because the biggest one had, you know, animosity that went back for centuries, sort of Hatfield and McCoy with this other tribe. And so when he picks on them and confiscates their property, the last Jewish tribe sort of thinks, oh, well, he's doing my dirty work. He's helping me to get a monopoly. I'm going to be the only one left. Well, then when there's only one Jewish tribe left, he surrounds them and bottles them in their neighborhood and then finally brings them into the market and chops off the heads of the men and sells the women and children into slavery. So it's this divide and conquer. Now, if all three of those tribes would have stuck together from the beginning, but now we look at the comparison of government and business. So the idea is if you're the big government, you go to the biggest businesses, the GEs, the Blue Cross Blue Shield, all these different businesses, and you say, you know, if you play with us, we will help put these smaller businesses out of business, and you will get a bigger share of the market, and you'll get a monopoly. And these big businesses are like, yeah, we're with you. And so the government puts through regulations that put the small guy out of business. And then once they're
hold up, thought,
the
William, hold up, thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Restore Health and Counseling takes this opportunity to remind area drivers that the safe operation of a motor vehicle and the consumption of alcohol do not mix. When you take to the road this holiday season, take along the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and common sense. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Para Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescent to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening, treatment, and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Business owners, pay attention. Get 3 months free radio advertising for your business on 1360 AM The Lion. That's right, 3 months free with your purchase of a minimum commercial package. Make this year the year of more income, more customers, and more effective advertising. Customers won't know you're open for business if you don't tell them. If you want to increase the success and profitability of your business, you know it depends on your ability to attract and retain a steady stream of customers. Call me now, Danny Golden, Promotions and Sales Director, at 303-257-7576, and let's watch your sales soar. So if you're not as busy as you want to be, call me now at 303-257-7576. Six for details on this limited free 3 month offer. It's the most affordable way to build your business with tax deductible radio advertising. That's Danny at 303-257-7576 or 1360 AM advertising at hotmail.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, and of course, here we are, Barack Obama talking about how we certainly want the rich to pay their fair share, and how we have to increase the taxes on the rich. But ladies and gentlemen, that's how they got the income tax in back in 1913. They were talking about, you know, we didn't have an income tax, and what we needed was a tax. Certainly the rich had so much, and maybe just give 1 or 2% of what they had to help the poor. Well, of course, this was the guise that was used. I have all sorts of gimmicks so the rich don't pay their taxes, but they use that as the means of introducing the income tax so that they could tax the middle class and control them and have the money then to build their fascist society. But it was all about, you know, we're going to tax the rich, but the very, very rich pay very little in the way of taxes. They have their money offshore. And so they, in fact, if you're a corporation and you move offshore, you don't have to pay any taxes. It's only if you stay here that you have to pay taxes. And then in more recent years, they talked about the alternative minimum tax. And there was the recurrent theme. Do you know that there are 200 millionaires that don't pay any taxes? That's why we need an alternative minimum tax. So what happened? Why they put in the alternative minimum tax? And instead of 200 millionaires that didn't pay any taxes, there were thousands that didn't pay any taxes. But, of course, what they did was raise the taxes on the middle class as inflation came, and they got more and more income, but really no more and more in the way of real value. It was simply the value of their currency declined. And now we pay higher taxes ourselves. And more millionaires don't pay any taxes. It's all part of a game. And if you believe government is going to tax the very wealthy who fund government, you're sadly mistaken. There will always be gimmicks for them. It's the old idea of playing the average person against the wealthy. And, of course, what happens is the average person loses. And you're not going to change that. Do not fall for it again. Go right ahead.
Well, throughout most of history, I wrote a book called Change to Change. It's the 6,000-year quest for control. And I know I've mentioned this before, but it's fascinating, so I'll, for those that may not have heard it. But I spent about a year, and I researched every civilization that has ever existed on planet Earth. So the Akkadians, the Elamites, which became Persia, which became Iran. The Assyrians, twice they were the largest empire in the world. Then the Egyptians, beginning about, 2250 BC, they begin building their first pyramid. And there were 18 major Egyptian dynasties that basically lasted for about 2,000 years, from about, 2000 BC up till Cleopatra IV, a lover of Caesar and Mark Antony. And then you go to India, even 300 BC, when they stopped Alexander the Great, they had their Maharajas and their Gupta Empire, and they had 25% of the world, and they had monarchies. Maharaja means king of kings. And then China, there were Yu the Great was the first emperor, and there was 18 major Chinese dynasties. And then you got, again, Alexander the Great that swept through, and he had the largest empire in the world, and then followed by the Caesars, and then the Byzantine emperors and the Muslim sultans and the European monarchs, and in Africa they had the tribal chiefs and the Nubian princes, and then across the ocean you got the Aztec Montezumas, and you cross the ocean again you got King Kamehameha in Hawaii. And so the typical form of government across the entire planet over these 6,000 years, these 60 centuries, is what? Well, it's monarchy, dictatorship. That power gravitates into the hands of one person. They go by different names, Caesars, Pharaohs, Kaisers, Sultans, and Tsars, but inevitably, this is the default setting for human government. You drop a bunch of kids on a playground, one of them winds up being the bully hogging the ball. You drop a bunch of people in the woods, one of them winds up being the Indian chief. And you drop a bunch of people in an inner city, one of them winds up being the gang leader. So it's sort of like the Lord of the Rings. Everybody wants that ring of power, and then power gravitates. Every now and then, a group of people have an opportunity to have a government without a king. They sort of stretch the rubber band, but it inevitably snaps back. The first instance of a people without a king is Israel. When they came out of Egypt into the promised land for 200 years, they didn't have a king. They were ruled by a constitution. Everybody was equal before this constitution, rich and poor. And they had maximum individual liberty. There was no king to buddy up to. What I mean by that is when there is a monarchy or dictatorship, the system is called patronage, the patronage system. So if you are friends with this monarch, you are more equal. If you're not friends with this monarch, you are less equal. And if you're an enemy of the monarch, you're dead. It's called treason. So equality is how close of an orbit can you get to this planet of this important person? There's no idea that everybody's equal. That we have in America. Ours was pretty unique in world history. And so in Israel, they didn't have a monarch to buddy up to. They had a little disorganized from the outside. Anybody could be raised up for leadership at different times from any tribe. But you could own your own land. The first recorded instance of private ownership of property was the verse in the Pentateuch that says, don't move the ancient boundary marker between properties. And you see, in Egypt, the pharaoh owned all the land. In Sumeria, the king owned all the land. And there's these cuneiform tablets, and most of them is the king deciding what's going to be grown, and he had a whole class of scribes that kept the counting records of what came in. And so Israel, they got to own their own land. And they could have their granaries and their flocks and their goats and their cattle, and they could get wealthy. Now, the Bible called it being blessed, and you were in a position as a lender, not a borrower. Karl Marx called that a capitalist, right? You had capital, you had possessions, you had wealth, but the Bible called it being blessed. And after 200 years, the people went to Samuel the prophet, and they said, you know what? We don't like this. We want to be like all the other nations. We want a king. And Samuel nearly tears his hair out, and he goes to God. God said, no, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. And Samuel goes to the people and says, look, this king, he's going to take your best land and give it out to his favorites. Wealth redistribution. He's going to take your sons and make them run before his chariots. Your daughters make him be his cooks and confectionaries. In other words, he's going to determine the fate of your lives. The people said, we don't care, we want him anyway. So they got Saul, and that was the end of Israel's experiment of ruling themselves without a king. There was Greece. They had little city-states. Originally, the first was Thebes, and it was founded by some Phoenicians. And it was so, the Phoenicians were maritime, they were sailors, and so it was too spread out to have a monarch. So they sort of edged into these little cities governing themselves. And so in Greece, again, there's no handbook to how to have a government without a king. And so they would experiment and Athens came up with a democracy. A guy named Solon, S-O-L-O-N, about 600 BC, set it up and left town. So they all had to go to the Agora, and everybody that was 18 years old and had served in the military was considered a citizen, and they could vote, every male. And it wasn't just a right, it was a responsibility. So if you didn't show up in the Agora and talk politics and vote, you were called an idiotus, an idiot. And anyway, they sort of cutting the story short, if it's a patronage system and you have an agenda, you lobby the king. You go to his court and try to weasel your way in. Well, if it's a democracy and everybody votes, how do you lobby everybody? Theater. That's when the Greeks invent theater. And the tragedies of the comedies, they get people together in an auditorium outside, and they put on plays where they mock and ridicule some points of view, and they extol other points of view. And from Greeks to now, theater has always been political. You know, you're watching your favorite TV show, stop. Ask yourself, who is funding this? And who is writing the script? And who are they making into the good guys? And who are they putting down? And so they have more often than not, they make the anti-religious, maybe the homosexual, maybe the, you know, the sexually immoral people into the cool, hero types. And then the old stodgy, religious people, well, they're the bad people, you know. And so you watch this after a while, and it begins to affect your worldview. In Greece, there was a rich guy to the north named Philip of Macedon, and he conquered some cities, got some gold mines, and he began to bribe the citizens of Athens with money. And some of them gave in, and they began to go to the Agora, the marketplace, and say, Philip's not such a bad guy. He's not conquering these other cities. He's liberating them. And these paid propagandists, these traitors, gathered around themselves people that Lenin called useful idiots, people that believe their lies, and we get their little Occupy Wall Street signs, and, you interview, what are you out here? Well, I don't really know, but I just, anyway, they gather these useful idiots, and it confuses Athens so much that when Philip marched up to the gates, the people threw the gates open, he came in, took over, and the people of Athens did not get a chance to rule themselves again for nearly 2,000 years. After Philip came his son Alexander the Great, and then you had the Romans and the Roman emperors, and then you had the Byzantine emperors, and then the Muslim sultans, and then Greece finally got its independence after World War I. But then they got in debt to the EU, and now they don't control their fate again. And so people ruling themselves without a king is a very rare occurrence. It's like a little flower that sprouts through the pavement of totalitarianism that stretches across these 60 centuries. Anyway, so Greece is out of the picture now. Then we go to Rome. Rome was a republic for 500 years, from about 527 BC and up to about, 45 BC. And the situation in Rome was there was a wicked king who raped a girl named Lucretia. And the girl was so distraught, she goes into the place where all the leaders are, and she commits suicide right in front of them. And these leaders were so upset at the king, they kill him. And then they make a rule that if anybody in Rome ever declared themselves a king, anybody could kill that guy with no repercussions. So for 500 years, nobody in Rome dared call themselves a king. There was a famous founder of the Roman Republic. The word republic means representative. So it's where they had 600 senators that were the leaders of Rome. They did not have a king. Well, one of these leaders was named Publius, and he was building a mansion on top of a hill in Rome. Rumor went around that, boy, this guy's really popular. He's building this big palace. Maybe he's edging into thinking of himself as a king. When Publius got the rumor, he tore down his own mansion before it was even completed being built. So nobody in Rome ever wanted to be a king. That's the way it was for 600 years. Well, as time went on, these senators, they were not elected. They were hereditary, back to the founders of Rome. These senators became the wealthy ones. And then the poor people were the indebted ones. And so one of these wealthy senator families was named Caesar, Julius Caesar. And so Julius Caesar joins the military to escape debt collectors because his wealthy family was sort of on the outs. And he's effective. He's very good as a military leader. And when they would conquer, they would bring all the booty and slaves back into Rome. And so everybody in Rome liked this guy. And he enters politics. He becomes a senator. And he does a political maneuvering. And he makes a triumvirate, an agreement with three guys. So that's Julius Caesar, a wealthy guy named Crassus. He was sort of like the George Soros of the day. He was like the richest guy in Rome. He underwrote the whole campaign. And then Pompey, who was an older politician that stood for the old order. He was the a republic defender, so he would be the Republican. And everything started going fine. They're doing their super Congress type of we're more important type people. But then Crassus dies, and now it's between Caesar and Pompey. And Caesar doesn't have any money. And so he's marching toward Rome with his army.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with William Penner.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Restore Health and Counseling takes this opportunity to remind area drivers that the safe operation of a motor vehicle and the consumption of alcohol do not mix. When you take to the road this holiday season, take along the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and common sense. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Parra Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescent to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening, treatment, and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
If you're spending hard-earned money on supplements, you need to know about BioSuperfood because you're probably shortchanging yourself on nutrition and value. If you're buying products claiming to provide DNA protection from radiation, you're getting ripped off by inferior copycat products because there's no other product developed or researched like BioSuperfood. BioSuperfood is one complete superfood product that addresses radiation poisoning, allergies, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, and other degenerative diseases. BioSuperfood helps digestion, decreases pain and inflammation, increases flexibility, improves heart health and brain function. It boosts your immune system and even inhibits the AIDS virus and cancerous cells. It's an antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. BioSuperfood is not another supplement. It's a whole food and contains over 5,000 nutrients. Call now and ask about your special discounts on your BioSuperfood purchase at 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576 or biosuperfood@hotmail.com.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
This is Pastor Michael Golden inviting you to join the Voice of Many Waters congregation as we welcome Jerusalem-based broadcast journalist, popular speaker, author, and Middle East correspondent, David Dolan. Voice of Many Waters congregation will be meeting for Shabbat service February the 11th, 1 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. at 3J's Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. Seating is limited, so you will need to arrive early. For more information, call us at 1-800-205-6245. A love offering will be taken. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent.
Well, I'm here. Our guest this morning, William Federer. And William, before we go on, will you get out your website and tell people how they can get your books?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. And a toll-free number is 888-USA-WORD, 888-USA-WORD.
All right, well, we were talking about Julius Caesar. He was marching on Rome.
And so the general theme I'm talking about is power in government and how it's usually in the hands of a king. And every now and then people try to have a government without a king, but like a rubber band, it always snaps back. And so we're talking about how Rome had a republic with 600 senators. Power was distributed, but they had this power snapping back with a guy named Julius Caesar. So Caesar is against Pompey. And Pompey's the Republican. He's the wealthy guy wanting to keep the Republic in place. And there's a temple in Rome that they kept all their money, all the federal money. It was called the Temple of Saturn. And they had 400 years of Roman gold saved up from all their conquests. And it never occurred to Pompey when he was in Rome to take the money. But Caesar is marching toward Rome. And so Pompey, with his army, retreats. Caesar comes into Rome, and he makes a beeline for the Temple of Saturn. He raids the federal treasury. He takes all the stimulus money and tax money, and what does he do? He buys supporters against Pompey, like 53 million sesterces, you know, which is like 15,000 bars of gold and all this. And so it's like he takes this money, and he uses it for ACORN and SEIU and union contracts and, you know, people that are on the dole. And so he buys these supporters and he says, I'm for you people against those terrible rich people. We need Caesars. They're making too much money. And so Caesar gets the money, gets the supporters, and he finally, Pompey's killed and Caesar is the only one left. He makes himself dictator for life. And then he becomes in total control. I mean, he even changed months. Beginning of the year was March 1st. And the Romans, you know, their seventh month was September. Sept means seven. Eighth month was octo, like octagon, right? Eighth month was October. Ninth month was nov, November. And the tenth month was December, like decimal. It means ten. Well, Caesar changes it and makes the beginning of the year January 1st. And guess what? Our calendar beginning of January 1st goes back to Julius Caesar. And then Caesar names a month after himself. It was the former fifth month, Quintilius, and he names it after himself, July. And it only had 30 days, so he took a day from the end of the year, which would have been the last day of February, and he adds it to July to make it 31. Well, the next Caesar was Augustus Caesar. He didn't want to be outdone. He names a month after himself. It's August. And he takes a day from the end of the year, February, and gives August 31. And if they would have kept it up, we wouldn't have had any February left. But that's why February has 28. And so, I mean, this Caesar was so powerful. And so he used the people to basically deceive them and dupe them and saying, okay, I'm for you, but really, if you didn't like 600 senators, well, guess what? Now you just got one guy. Power is totally concentrated, and he basically owns the empire. The whole thing is his personal property, and it's back to the patronage system. If you're friends with a Caesar, you're more equal. If you're not friends with a Caesar, you're less equal. If you're an enemy of the Caesar, you're dead. It's called treason. And so this is the end of the Roman experiment of the people ruling themselves with a republic. And then we look at, Europe. There were some free cities, Swiss cantons. There was some Italian city-states, which were sort of a nobleman's republic. Again, there was no handbook on how to have a government without a king. There was a city in Russia called Novgorod, and it was a republic. They would all gather in the middle of town and shout for their leader, and whoever got the most shouts was elected. And they withstood the Mongols when the Mongols conquered Russia. But finally, Ivan IV of Moscow killed about 30,000 of these people and then incorporated Novgorod into Moscow's control. And it was the biggest port city until they built St. Petersburg. And then there was Iceland. It had an Icelandic commonwealth from about 962 AD to 1200, and they had different tribes with different judges, and so it was an alternative to a monarchy until it was conquered by the King of Denmark. And then there was Holland. It was the Seven United Netherlands, and they had a republic, and it was very wealthy. It was successful. They had an Amsterdam Stock Exchange where you could invest money into a boat going over to Indonesia or to Japan or to Goa, India, or to South Africa, or to Aruba, or to New Amsterdam, which became New York. And so this was a way to raise money without a king, without taxes. It was a stock exchange. They had their first stock market crash when it was called the Tulip Windhausen, the Tulip Wind, that some guy, you know, puffed up the price of tulips and everybody invests in it, and then the whole thing crashes. But the English took over the Dutch colony of New Amsterdam, turned it into New York. And so the New Amsterdam Stock Exchange turned into the New York Stock Exchange. And that was along a street where they had a wall, so it was called Wall Street. So that's a remnant of the Dutch Republic. But anyway, it was finally conquered by Napoleon. But at the time America was formed, there was not another functioning republic in the world. It was the end of the Dutch Republic, maybe, you know, a little bit left of the Venetian, you know, Italian city-state republic. But other than that, the whole rest of the world was monarchy. And so America's founders hated monarchy. We had King George III. He was the king of the largest empire in the world. The sun never set on the British Empire. They had the American colonies in Canada, and they had the Sandwich Islands, Hawaii. They had Hong Kong and India and a bunch of places in Africa and the Middle East and Europe. And the King of England was, there was, you know, eventually 13 million square miles and a half a billion people, all ultimately controlled by the king. Now, there were some limitations of parliament that were put on him, but he basically called the shots. And so when we had our revolution, our founders had a bad taste in their mouth for monarchy, and they wanted to do as much of an opposite of that as possible. So they took the power of a king and separated it. They separated it into three branches, separated federal to state level, and then they tied up this new federal Frankenstein with 10 handcuffs we call the first 10 amendments. And basically our Constitution is a bunch of hurdles to prevent power from reconcentrating back into the hands of a dictator. Unfortunately, after every crisis, we've seen a gradual reconcentration of control. It was great that Lincoln ended slavery, but in the process, a lot of rights went from the states to the federal government. It was great that Woodrow Wilson got us through World War I, but he concentrated power in the federal government with the Federal Reserve Income Tax and 17th Amendment. It was great that FDR got us through the Depression, but he concentrates power with his New Deal programs. And it was Lyndon Johnson, you know, maybe he had good intentions, but his great society welfare state concentrated power in the federal government, so the government collects everybody's money and then gives it back in social programs. And then there's President Bush with the war on terror, and now the current president. So we see power reconcentrating.
Prospect Implement Company in Keensburg takes time to welcome our troops home from Iraq. Remember when you see them to thank the men and women of our military service for their dedication, selflessness, and courage. And continue to pray for the safety of those who are still serving overseas. May God bless our troops and may God bless the United States of America. This message of appreciation is from Prospect Implement Company in Keensburg. The name to remember for all your farm machinery equipment needs. Their number is 732-4321. That's 732-4321.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Texas Roadhouse takes this time out to salute the men and women in uniform who stood tall for our freedom around the world. Let's give them a hero's welcome home they deserve. America's troops are our angels of protection and wings of freedom that have fought hard to help restore peace around the world. That's from Texas Roadhouse at 1931 Bluegrass Circle, where they invite you in for the best food in Cheyenne. Fall off the bone ribs, hearty hand-cut steaks, legendary margaritas, and much more. Call 307-638-1234. That's 307-638-1234.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Of course, I guess this morning, William Federer. And William, let's wrap up this program.
Well, Dr. Stan, we're talking about elections and what's happening in America. And we see that there's been a reconcentrating of power back into the federal government. And it's happened staggered over the years, but sort of like water going down a drain around the edges, it goes slow, but as the water reaches the middle with that vortex that's sucked down really fast. And so power began concentrating sort of slow. You know, Jefferson, he pushes through the Louisiana Purchase. You know, it was supposed to be done by the Senate, and, you know, he approves it, but he did it and then went had it rubber stamped by the Senate. But it was a good thing because we doubled the size of the country. You know, it was, again, great that Lincoln ended slavery. I mean, usually power reconcentrates for an immediate good. Oh, we want to help the poor. We want to help get jobs. We want to help the economy. But the fallout is that power goes back into the hands of one person, and you're going back to the patronage system. So if you're friends with the president, you get an Obamacare waiver. If you're not friends with the president, you get your car dealership shut down and your Gibson guitar factory raided. If you're an enemy of the president, you're dead, you know, you're a character assassinated in the media. And so we see us moving back in the direction from separated power back to concentrated power. And anyway, I talk about all this in my book called Change to Chains. Change to Chains, little play on words, the 6,000-year quest for control. And so we see what's playing out. And again, David Axelrod, the president's campaign manager, talks about you throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent. In other words, you create a crisis and you blame it on your opponent. And so Caesar says, oh, okay, these rich people in Rome, they're the ones that are controlling everything, but yet he's the one that really wants to control it. So we see that when there's a patronage system, you got one guy who's the ultimate, but then there's the royalty. And then you have the peasants. And when you look at it that way, communism is nothing more than monarchy. Every communist country is ruled by a communist dictator. Kim Jong-il and, you know, Stalin, Pol Pot, Ho Chi Minh, Castro, Mao Zedong. And this dictator has the communist party members. They're the new royalty. They get to live in the nice houses. And then there is the peasants, the subjects and the people. And their fate is determined by the government. And so we still have monarchy today. It's just being called different names because, they, you know, in an educated world, they have to package it differently, but the end result is the same. And so, when we see this election, one candidate, the current president is wanting to create crises, because it's in times of crisis that power concentrates. Stalin said crises are necessary for the government to demand and obtain total submission of all citizens. And so if there's a Gulf oil spill, you let it get real bad so you can push your agenda through. If there's an immigration crisis, you let it get real bad so you can push your agenda. If there's a debt crisis, you want it to get real bad. And it's sort of like every person that's out of work is a Democrat voter. What do I mean? Well, it's human nature. You like getting money, right? And so if you're getting free money from the government, food stamps, welfare checks, social security checks, you know, you're getting, nobody's going to vote to stop getting free money. And so once you can get more people out of work and more people on government dole and more people that are getting government jobs and government paychecks and government contracts, everybody's going to vote for more government. And so they're going to vote for the power to be concentrated into the hands of the government. And we saw that in the Bible in Egypt, the story of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Question, what happened that first year of famine in Egypt? Well, people said, we don't have food. Government, take our cattle, give us food. Second year, take our land, give us food. Third year, take us and our kids and our posterity. Just give us a welfare check. Give us some food stamps. And all the power and land and ownership of everybody in Egypt was concentrated into the hands of one person, the Pharaoh. Now, if you want to be that Pharaoh and you had it in your ability to create the crises and put people out of work and have there be a food shortage, everybody will sell their soul to the government just to get a little handout, and power gets reconcentrated. Now, we're looking at 6,000 years of world history. We can pretty well get an idea of how human beings act in governments and in you know, tribes and kingdoms and so forth, and how power is concentrated is the normal setting, and then we try to separate it and stretch the rubber band, but it always snaps back. But each time the power reconcentrates on a larger global scale, you know, so we go from Egypt was the largest empire for a while, and then India had it, and then the Assyrians had it, and then the Elamite Persians under Cyrus, you know, the Persian Empire was the largest, and then Alexander the Great Empire was the largest, and then, you know, the Roman Empire was the largest, and then Genghis Khan's was the largest, you know, and then you had, you know, the British Empire was the largest, and now we are establishing a global empire, but they have to call it a different name, and they have to do it a little bit differently, but it's a financial type of thing, and they need a crisis. They need a financial crisis, an Islamic crisis. They need crises so that people give up their freedoms and have power reconcentrated, and when the dust settles, that their goal is to have a global government. And so we sort of see a working together of some forces. There's the Islamic caliphate that wants a one-world government, but they're sort of working together with some global leaders. And a good example of this is New York City. The mayor, Bloomberg, is a very wealthy, and he makes a whole lot of his money with deals with Arab Muslims. And so we see this Islamic and this financial working together to concentrate power. Now, there's no honor amongst thieves, and they'll probably have it out between themselves at some point. But we see the trend as individual. So America has gone from the country with the most freedoms, the most individual opportunity. We took the power of a king and separated the most of any nation. You know, there's a spectrum of power. So one side is total government, the other side is no government. The no government side is called anarchy, and America, out of all 6,000 years, was the one country to get the closest to the anarchy side of the spectrum, government without a king. And we maintained order because we had a population that had internal order. We had Judeo-Christian morality. That was our secret ingredient.
We're out of time, anyway. William. Thanks so very much again. The book, Change the Chain. I recommend it strongly. God bless. Talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
If you're spending hard-earned money on supplements, you need to know about BioSuperfood because you're probably shortchanging yourself on nutrition and value. If you're buying products claiming to provide DNA protection from radiation, you're getting ripped off by inferior copycat products because there's no other product developed or researched like BioSuperfood. BioSuperfood is one complete superfood product that addresses radiation poisoning, allergies, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, and other degenerative diseases. BioSuperfood helps digestion, decreases pain and inflammation, inflammation, increases flexibility, improves heart health and brain function. It boosts your immune system and even inhibits the AIDS virus and cancerous cells. It's an antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. BioSuperfood is not another supplement. It's a whole food and contains over 5,000 nutrients. Call now and ask about your special discounts on your BioSuperfood purchase at 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576 or BioSuperfood@hotmail.com.
Custom Cabinet Shop is a locally owned and operated family business since 1980. So if you want fair and reasonable prices, personalized service, and excellence in workmanship for your refacing, repair, installation, millwork, or remodeling projects for your home and business, Custom Cabinet Shop can do the job for you. Call now for your free quote and on-site consultation, 303-340-1390. That's 303-340-1390. So Custom Cabinet Shop can attend to your every woodworking need. Cabinets to fit your taste, furniture to fill your space, and shelves to store more. Gun racks for what you pack. High-end, low-end, repair, reface, remodel, or replace. Mantles, ceilings, or trim. Whatever you need. Don't overpay for in-house calls, design consultations, or repairs. Call for your free quote and a single on-site visit to get your project rolling now. That's Custom Cabinet Shop, 303-340-1390. Find us on Facebook.
Well, look, and here at the American Freedom Network, and America was unique. Our whole concept of our Constitution was to limit the power of the federal government. But there's always been a fascist element that wanted to concentrate power in their hands and use the federal government to enrich themselves and enslave the people. Well, of course, then along came Cecil Rhodes with his plan to control the world and to gain control of the American government and then utilize the financial and military power of the United States to control not only the United States but the world. And that's why we have our 800 to 900 military bases throughout the world. That's why we have our troop station in 130 nations. That's why we went over to fight in Afghanistan. It was a phony situation. They had to kill 3,000 Americans when they brought down the Twin Towers and when they brought down Building Number 7 to get the American people willing to go to war. But 1,000 bodies were vaporized, ladies and gentlemen. If you watch the Twin Towers come down, and you could do that at our Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth website, or we have all sorts of videos on my website of the Twin Towers coming down. You'll see the top parts of the buildings vaporize, and then you'll see them vaporize the cement. And if you watch closely, you can see the explosions all the way up and down the buildings. They kill those people. And what did they do? Why did they appoint the 9/11 Commission? Not to reveal what happened, but to conceal the truth, because they murdered those Americans. And then they sent our boys overseas to kill 1 million Iraqis, because Saddam Hussein, the wicked Saddam Hussein, had weapons of mass destruction, and it was all a lie. And everything you're getting is a lie, because they control the media here, and they control the military. And they control the banks, and they create money out of nothing so they can buy the political support of the politicians. And they control most of the major corporations, and they control the educational system and the great foundations. And they've infiltrated our churches, and they've infiltrated our conservative organizations and our liberal organizations, and it's time to take America back. Right now we're having an election. And, of course, all the Republican candidates are controlled by the other side. The only man who is independent is Ron Paul. And they're attacking him because he's anti-Israel. He's not anti-Israel. If you wanted to destroy Israel, you would attack Iran. And because, of course, they would retaliate. When they retaliate, why they would retaliate against Israel. And lob in 1,000, 10,000, 50,000 missiles on Israel and destroy it. What Ron Paul says is cut off foreign aid to Israel and to all the other countries, because we're financing the countries over there. Who do you think brought the mullahs to power back in 1979? The American government, or the secret government. And they've been planning the coming war with Iran ever since that time. And if you haven't heard our talks on the, we have all the documentation, how we've kept the Iranian government in power. And of course, we have our people planted at the highest levels of their government today. And they're ranting and raving about wiping out Israel so we can justify the coming war with Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to our radio program, RadioLiberty.com. Get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, by calling 1-800-544-8927. We'll be gone for a few days. With you again next Thursday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at Amerifree.com.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing